This is Queer Voices.
An estimated 150,000 people ages 13 to 17 in the United States identify as transgender, according to a 2017 report by the Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law. The Williams Institute researches law and public policy on gender identity and sexual orientation. Landon Ritchie is one of those teenagers. He is a trailblazing teenage activist. He has forcefully advocated for transgender rights at the local, state, and national levels. In 2017, he testified against Senate Bill 6, the bathroom bill, in the Texas legislature. Recently, he helped to launch the Gender Cool Project, which chronicles the accomplishments of transgender kids and their young allies across the United States. His activism has been featured on NBC's Today Show with Megyn Kelly and in the New York Times. Landon, welcome to Queer Voices.
Thank you for having me.
So you got to take a trip to New York for the launch of the Gender Cool Project. Tell us about that big adventure and what the Gender Cool Project is.
So yeah, it was my first time in New York, which was exciting in and out of itself. I think anybody's first time to New York is just something you'll never forget. But the particular reason I was there makes it even more memorable and meaningful. The Gender Cool Project focuses and aims to change the narrative from the discrimination and negative feedback and policy, etc., that transgender people face in the United States and across the world. Gender Cool Project aims to show that transgender people are more than just being trans. The phrase that is often used is who we are, not what we are. So it focuses on the passions, the talents, the lives of trans youth, not focused on their medical transitions or the blowback they've faced, but how they're thriving and the support that allows them to thrive in their communities and in their lives.
And how did you get approached to participate?
So my mom was reached out to by the co-founder, Jen Grosshandler, asking if I would like to create a video and be a part of this project. And of course, it was in the beginning stages, so it wasn't entirely explicit as to how this would go and what exactly it would entail. But for me, it was a no-brainer as to whether or not to participate, because being able to live as myself is a privilege. And for so many other kids who don't have that privilege of being themselves openly with those who love them and those that they love, being visible is my way of giving back to those kids and putting a face and a story and a way for others to know that they are not alone.
And I was really impressed when you were interviewed by Megyn Kelly, formerly of Fox News, currently yes, of the Today Show. Talk to me about that decision-making process. Was that intimidating for you to first go on a national television show and then to be interviewed by Megyn Kelly, who can do some tough interviews?
So we didn't know that we were going to be interviewed by Megyn Kelly until already a part of the project. It wasn't confirmed until a while in, so the obvious reason we were in New York was for the interview, and it was only told to us a while before we were told we were going to New York. So it was definitely something to reconcile with, as she is associated with Fox News, and she has said some hurtful things in the past about the trans community. But being on the show with her, allowed me to see her in a different light, because she was extremely kind and respectful, receptive, and she was genuine about wanting to have this conversation and put a spotlight on the positives and being trans and being happy and being thriving, instead of what you see all over the news, like the murder rates or the latest bathroom bill. So her allowing 5 transgender kids to be on her show to talk about being kids is something that is just extraordinary and unheard of, especially for her as Megyn Kelly.
And what's great is the Today Show reaches straight into the heart of Middle America. I mean, like my parents listen to the Today Show, so it's a PR coup to be able to talk through that platform. You spoke very eloquently recently at the Human Rights Campaign Gala a while back about your awareness of your gender identity. Maybe talk to us a little bit about how you came to that realization and how you were able to embrace it.
A lot of trans people have a similar coming to terms with who they are. I knew at a pretty young age that being a girl wasn't necessarily who I was, but I didn't know how to express that and how the language in which to use to describe how I felt. So I was a very masculine child. I wore clothes exclusively from the boys section from around the age 8, and any time I was asked or expected to wear a dress or act like a girl, it didn't come without me putting up a fight, because that was just not something comfortable for me. It made me extremely uncomfortable. In playing games with my dad, I'd always be the boy character, and I would assume the roles in almost anything as a boy. I remember when I was around 5, I had asked everyone around me to call me Cowboy Clay. That was the name of my favorite cartoon character. So it was, there were signs when I was growing up that this is something that, you know, maybe won't be a phase, which is a common misconception among trans kids. When I was 10, I had my first traditionally male haircut, and I was a weight lifted off my shoulders because people, even though they had in the past, were more starting to recognize me as a male. And even though I didn't know it as myself that was who I was, it was comforting to know that people saw me in that way, in the way that I thought I should be seen, but thought it wasn't possible for me to be seen. I was around 11 when I started being more, I guess, active in searching the internet, and I came across a transition timeline of a young trans guy, and it was in that moment that I truly realized people like me exist out there. They are able to live as their true selves. They have families, they have friends, they are happy. There's a word for how I feel, and I felt connected through that person on the screen, and that led to me finding so many more videos, so many more stories, and I kept a journal for about 6 months prior to my coming out, where I truly understood and was able to express who I was and my fears for when I did come out, how my friends and family would react, stuff like that. And it was a progression from identifying as a tomboy for my childhood to realizing that I'm transgender, and it's something that, like, even at 11, something I didn't fully expect everybody to understand, because it was such a difficult thing for me to come to terms with, as I think being LGBTQ plus in general is. So that was basically the progression of my understanding who I was and coming to terms with having to tell other people.
And if you've just joined us, we are speaking with Landon Ritchie. He is a trailblazing activist on several fronts. He is currently 15 years old, but at 14, you decided that you would go to Austin when our benighted Republican legislature was putting forward the SB6, the bathroom bill. Talk to us about the decision to kind of come out on a public stage and make a statement like that and what that was like for you.
So that goes back primarily to, because I am able to, I feel it's my duty to use my voice to speak up against these discriminatory legislation that kills people. I testified back in the seventh grade as well. Or I didn't testify, but I lobbied actively during the session previous to this past one. And it was then I truly was immersed in the role of activists in the community and found my passion in my voice and testimony and holding these politicians accountable for the misconceptions, the bigotry, the ignorance, and what this, how these pieces of legislation truly affect Texans in this instance. So it was, being visible in that time was extremely strenuous.
Did you have any blowback or negative consequences?
I had a couple local media engagements with like ABC 13, and you always are told never to read the comments, and of course I did, and it was disheartening to see the people attacking me as a 14-year-old, attacking the people that I loved and cared about, and how completely uneducated and ignorant they were, and not receptive to any push to educate them and create more awareness. It was completely blocked off to anything they believed in. And that was discouraging, but having the strength of those around me, especially in the waiting room, the holding room before we testified, where we waited for hours upon hours listening to these people spew their misconceptions, and knowing that these people around us were there to fight for what is just and what is humane, and for the safety of trans Texans, it was empowering. In that moment, it was extremely empowering to know that although there is this side that thinks we are going to the bathrooms to molest children, or that we chose one day to be a woman and to go into the women's bathroom, it's having that community around you is what helped me the most through that. And I think also is how I interpret my visibility, because I often say, and I truly do believe this, that this community has given me more than I could have ever asked for, and because I am able to use my voice and my action, being able to do that is my way of giving back to this community.
And so, shifting gears slightly, you also are an artist and a musician. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your other passions besides advocacy?
Yeah, so I started playing the trumpet in sixth grade. I think I started because my friend started, and that was the reason I chose trumpet. But it became so much more than just following my peers in that regard. I'm now in the 10th grade, and I have competed in multiple competitions, both solo and ensemble. And it's definitely an expression. It's somewhere I feel safe, and although it's frustrating at times, it's something that I enjoy to push myself to expand my abilities, to have this healthy competition with my bandmates and how they work extremely hard to get where they are at. I do the same. It's a camaraderie, it's a relationship with this beautiful art form that allows you to express ideas and thoughts in ways that a lot of different art forms can't, and it's definitely something that many people don't grasp as deeply, but as a musician, it's extremely grounding, as a lot of art forms are. And in the seventh grade, I started taking a traditional art class. I had previously been fond of drawing and just goofing off with a pencil or crayons, but it was in seventh grade I was put in a position where I was given tasks and deadlines and pushed to go outside of my comfort zone. And I think that helped greatly, because now in high school I've also entered vase competition twice.
Where what is vase?
I can't remember what it stands for, but it's a UIL. It's like the UIL for art. It is... It starts district, and then it expands to state, and I had a piece last year, which I drew of my trumpet, go to state, and receive a gold seal, and I have another piece this year as well going to state, so that's exciting.
We are almost out of time. Tell me, who are your heroes and sheroes, Landon?
I would say that my heroes and sheroes are the youth who are unapologetically themselves, the people who are themselves proudly, despite what others impose that they should be. This cry of youth voices recently is beyond empowering and instills in me a sense of optimism and hope for a better future for everyone involved. And I think those who use their voices, who are unafraid, who are bold, who are proud, and that can be anyone, those are the people that inspire me to continue to do this, and those who I hold to the highest regards.
And parting question. So we see the youth from Marjory Stoneman Douglas High, and they are not cynical, and they refuse to be cowed by adults' expectations. Big question to make you the spokesperson for your generation. Why are you all so optimistic? How do you all keep coming back?
It's about time. After being constantly pushed down and told our voices aren't valid because we are youth, it's about time that they realize that that is simply not the case. We know more than they give us credit for. And being able to constantly push that in their faces is, I think, what pushes us to continue to do so and continue to fight until that is recognized and acknowledged, even if we have to drag them into the winner's circle. It's going to happen.
And if you just joined us, we've been speaking with Landon Ritchie. He is a 15-year-old activist here in Houston who has spoken out on state, local, and national stages. And we're going to have him back definitely in the future. Thank you, Landon.
Thank you so much.
And you are listening to Queer Voices.